Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord, the King of Kings, the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you would stand, please. We're going to read from the Word of the Lord. And imagine, if you can, that we're going to read from the second chapter of Acts on the day of Pentecost. Amen. We've already heard quite a bit about Pentecost, and I'm going to talk about that, of course, today. In Pastor Roy's defense, the Sunday that I think our anniversary was on a Sunday, or it was real close, whatever, he had the card ready, but there was something about our schedule. My wife is a nurse, and her schedule varies. And I think, if my memory serves correctly, he tried like two or three times to get us at the same time in the same place so he could give us that card. So he forgot about that, but after several tries, I think it got buried. So it's not all his fault. Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You may be seated. Amen. They were all with one accord in one place. We have a lot of holidays that we celebrate. We've talked about Pentecost Sunday already. When people think of Christian holidays, they don't normally think of, at least non-Pentecostals, don't normally think of Pentecost. They don't make a big deal out of it. If you ask your average person, name a Christian holiday, they're going to say Christmas. That's the one, because that's the one we celebrate our whole culture. Whether they're Christians or non-Christians, they even came up with a make-believe figure so that they could celebrate it and give gifts. And then the second most popular holiday, which is maybe more significant in our frame of reference, is Easter, of course. But we don't always talk about the day of Pentecost. We don't always think of the day of Pentecost. There's a whole... We talk about the holiday spirit, and now, of course, our culture celebrates things like Halloween and St. Patrick's Day with the same fervor and energy that they used to celebrate Christmas and Easter. But for the Jews in the time of Jesus, in the time of the apostles, in the time of the upper room that we've already talked about, where these apostles were gathered together, the Bible says that there was about 120 disciples gathered together, and they were all together in one place. And they knew what the day of Pentecost was. It meant something to them. It was a special day in Judaism, the festival of weeks, or Shavuot, I don't know how to say that. It was a harvest festival that was celebrated 7 weeks and one day after the first Sabbath of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the tradition changed. The Feast of Weeks originally came the day after seven full weeks in Jewish tradition. The 50th day was known as the Festival of Weeks. But this day, in Acts chapter 2, this day of Pentecost, this day, this celebration, this special day for them was different than all of the others. See, this was the day of Pentecost for which God had set his supernatural alarm clock from the beginning of time. He wound up the clock of time in earth, and he already had a plan for this day of Pentecost, because he knew that humanity would need a Savior. He knew that this creation, this humanity would be flesh, and he knew that our human nature would fail and be subject to sin. But he already had a plan. He set his plan in motion on the day that Adam and Eve left the garden. He had a plan for redemption, a plan where he could come and live with humanity and bring humanity to be with him for all eternity. His plan was at work when the flood came in the time of Noah. He called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees to be part of his plan, and he promised great things. God's hand was working when Joseph went down into Egypt. And God was working his will when the Israelites left Egypt and the Pharaoh and his armies were destroyed. Then through all the ups and downs of Israel's history under the judges and under the kings, God was still fulfilling his plan. His plan, of course, was at work in a manger in Bethlehem when that baby was born. And certainly his plan was being worked out on the cross at Calvary, where Jesus died for our sins. And it wasn't enough for him to die on the cross, but his plan was at work in the empty tomb of the resurrection. Praise God for that. But it was still not fulfilled. He had still not accomplished his purpose. It wasn't until this special day of Pentecost that Jesus fulfilled the plan that God had for you and me. In the Great Commission, Jesus said, "This is why the Son of Man came, so that repentance could be preached and remission of sins could come in his name through water baptism, and so that we could receive the promise of the Father, which was the infilling of the Holy Ghost." This was the plan of God. And on this day of Pentecost, this day, this is the real day of celebration for Christians. This is the day that we really ought to get excited about. Praise God. This is the birthday of the church. Happy birthday, everybody. It's Independence Day. This is the day we receive the power. It's the day that Jesus moved in. Praise God. The plan of God for all ages was fulfilled on this day of Pentecost. Amen. I want to talk a little bit about spiritual physics. Amen. I'm sure someone... I kept thinking about Brother Shane when I was putting this together, because I thought he probably preached something like this sometime along the way. Or Pastor Roy. That's the kind of thing that they like to use examples and science. And I'm no scientist, and if you're a scientist or if you're a physics major, this is the simple understanding that I have of the three laws of Newtonian physics. Okay. The first law of Newtonian physics states that if the net force, the vector sum of all forces acting on an object, is zero, then the velocity of the object is constant, which means that if something is in place, or if it's moving, it will continue to be in place or continue moving at the same rate and in the same direction unless some outside force works on it. This ball is being acted upon. We can't recognize it, but gravity is holding it in place. And it will stay there as long as that gravity force is constant. But if I move it, without gravity, that ball would continue forever in that same direction with that same amount of momentum. That is the law of inertia. An object is at rest, that is at rest will stay at rest until an outside force acts upon it. An object that is in motion will not change its velocity unless a force acts upon it. You see, for centuries, the plan of God was at work, and the Holy Ghost was moving all of humanity to this point in time. We could not recognize it. Those people could not recognize it, but they had the promises of God, and they knew that someday it was going to happen. But the Bible says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, when all of the forces and all of the energy and all of the purpose that God had in mind for all of those years finally came to bear upon that one group of 120 people in the upper room, the force of the power of the Holy Ghost moved in such a way and it broke through the window of time and eternity was poured out into the heart of mankind. The first law of Newtonian physics says that if no outside force acts upon an object, it will continue in the direction and with the energy that it already has. But now, on this day of Pentecost, humanity was changed. Our world was changed because God moved in. Now, inertia is a funny word because it represents continuation. The law of inertia applies to something sitting in place, and it applies to something in motion. So I want to ask you today, how is the law of inertia applied to you? Let's make a spiritual application of this law of physics. Are you just sitting in place? Or are you going somewhere? Now, another element of inertia isn't just movement, but it has velocity and direction. So you can be going someplace, but you can be going in the entirely wrong direction. So where's your inertia today? Are you moving in the wrong direction, or have you been in the same place for too long a time? Or are you like the 120 who the Bible says that they were all with one mind and one accord? They were all moving in the same direction. They were being led by the Holy Ghost and they were moving with the Spirit of God. So that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were right where they needed to be in the will of God. Praise God. The law of inertia, that's what happened to my haircut. The lady just started cutting my hair. And she kept cutting and cutting and cutting and cutting and cutting. Pretty soon it was all gone. I don't know what outside force finally stopped her, but so we have one basketball here, and we see the law of inertia, the first law of Newtonian physics working on that basketball just as it sits there. But I prefer to live a life with some momentum to it. And that word momentum indicates movement in a particular direction. Impetus and driving force gained by the development of a process or a course of events. I hope something's happening in your life to give you some spiritual momentum. Amen. The second law of Newtonian physics states that the rate of change of momentum of a body is directly proportional to the force applied. And this change in momentum takes place in the direction of the applied force. This second law can also be stated in terms of an object's acceleration. So we have one basketball subject to inertia, and now it has some momentum, and it's moving in a direction with a certain speed, but another object comes along and changes its direction. The second law of Newtonian physics. Something has changed. The rate of change of momentum is directly proportional to the force applied. If I'd thrown that other basketball hard enough, Matt would have caught the basketball in the front row because the amount of force determines the change of direction. Some of us have been moving in the same direction for a very, very long time. Some of us kind of get on cruise control, spiritually speaking. Some of us just live our life and we're motivated by forces and we're pushed in directions that we're not even aware of. And we ping pong through life, letting the forces of life change our direction and our purpose without us having any control whatsoever. What's driving you? What's driving me? What's motivating you? Success? Money? Fame? Comfort? Just want to be comfortable. Just want to get that home that I've been looking for. Just want to get that job. What's motivating us? What's driving our life? Are we ping-ponging back and forth? Are we letting the forces of this world direct our purpose? Or are we gaining spiritual momentum? Praise God. It works if it's moving in one direction and something moves it even faster, it gains momentum. Praise God. We don't have to just settle in, and we can gain momentum every time we come into the house of God. We can gain momentum every time we kneel to pray. God wants to give you a fresh start this morning on this day of Pentecost. Praise God. And if you're here today and you're wondering about the direction of your life, if you're here today and you're feeling overwhelmed by the things that are going on around you, I'm here to tell you there is a greater force than any that you have ever known that can change the direction and the momentum of your life forever. Amen. What moves you? What are you living for? What's driving me? Newton's third law. The magnitude of forces are equal, but they have opposite directions as dictated by Newton's third law. Now, this is a little trickier. Okay, as I'm walking, according to Newton's third law of physics, the ground is pushing back against my feet as hard as my feet are pushing against the ground. That's why I end up with motion, because the ground is pushing back and it's not moving, so the motion is expressed in my movement. What does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with spiritual physics? There's all kinds of forces at work here right now in this place, in every heart and every mind. I remember, and I still have this thought, what will people think if I respond to God? What will people think if I go down to that altar and cry? What will people think if I lift my hands and shout and dance about? There's all kinds of forces at work here. Tradition. Oh, no, that's not how I was raised. That's not how I was taught. That's not. Social forces, emotional forces, spiritual forces. There's all kinds of things at work here in this place. You came here this morning with a certain momentum in your life. Every one of us is traveling on a trajectory. Now, that's a word that we often use in terms of missiles. You shoot an arrow or you fire a missile or you throw a baseball and it follows a certain trajectory. If I wanted to throw a ball to someone in the back, maybe I should just grab the basketball and give it a... I don't have enough force in my arm to throw it on a directly straight line. Because as it travels, the force of gravity is going to pull it down. So I have to, in my mind, and with my eyes and my hands, I have to estimate the trajectory necessary for that ball to get from my hand to that person I'm throwing it to. Brother Mark is looking at me. He wants to catch it, I can tell. I've seen things like that go real bad in a church service. Praise God. We need to determine what trajectory we're going to be on. What are the forces that are at work in your life? Yes, I have a career. Well, that's okay. God wants you to have a career. Yes, I'm going to school. Yeah, good. But just remember that there's an end point to every life in this room, that we're all headed somewhere. What trajectory are you on? What momentum do you have? What are the forces that you are allowing to direct you and me? We came here, each of us, with a certain momentum. We're all on a certain trajectory in life. We're all headed somewhere. Or maybe you're just sitting in place. But we felt something here this morning on the day of Pentecost, on this celebration Sunday, on this Independence Day, the day that we remember when Jesus fulfilled his promise and poured out his Spirit upon all flesh. Praise God, all flesh. There's a power here. There's an invisible force at work in our hearts and our minds at this very moment. The Spirit of God is moving in this place. The same Spirit of God that at the beginning of time moved upon the void and creation began. And in addition to that Spirit, the Word of God is present. Hebrews 12 says that the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It gets down inside of us. And I'm hoping that someone here today is feeling the power and the force of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost getting down inside your heart. The Bible says in Isaiah, God speaks through the prophet and he says, my word shall not return void. Praise God. That's the third law of Newtonian physics. Newtonian physics says that there's going to be reaction. There's going to be an equal response. Reaction to every action. Everything, there will be a response to the Word of God here today. In every heart, in every mind. It's physics. You don't have any choice. You will react. You will respond equal to the force that you experience here. Now, you can respond positively and use that to give you momentum to move further into the will of God. Or you can fight against it and push against it, but it's going to cost you some spiritual focus and energy and momentum. And it will make it harder for you to respond the next time. Or you can do like so many of us do. You can deflect, which is what many of us do. I already have a church. Oh, I've been going to church for 30 years. I've had the Holy Ghost since 1980. We deflect. And the spiritual force is used up in that movement where we sidestep the will of God and the voice of God in our life. Praise God. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that when those 120 began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now listen, they spoke in other languages. That's what that means. And there were at least 14, some say 16 different languages that were spoken there, because there's a list. And people understood them. And we've had more and more reports here at Calvary Gospel Church of people who speak a different language than English coming into our services or being in a Pentecostal church and hearing someone speak in tongues, only they're speaking in their native language. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost, and it's still happening today. That momentum is still flowing through this place. That power is still here. Praise God. But what they said after Peter preached the gospel, the word of God was released and manifest under the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost, like I hope is happening here today. And they responded. They said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? How do we get into the flow of this Spirit? How do we respond properly to the force and the power that we're feeling?" Praise God. Is God talking to your heart? Does God want you to get some fresh momentum rather than some same old inertia? Is there something He's giving you direction to do? Is there something that's holding you back that you need to bring to the altar and leave it here? Or have you never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Praise God. The day of Pentecost was just the birthday of the church. That same experience is still present here today. That force, that power, that anointing is here for anyone who wants it. Anyone who will. Let's stand. There's certain places on the earth that if you go there during certain times of the season, the chances of you being struck by lightning are very high. Because they're in the mountains, and there's certain weather patterns that flow over those places. And because they're in the mountains, the clouds are there, and all of the forces are present that are just ready to create a lightning strike. And any climber that wants to go there needs to be aware of it. Because if they're not, they could become a crispy critter. But see, what we like to do, what I like to do is when a storm rolls in, I like to sit outside, sit on the porch, watch the storm roll in and watch the lightning strike and the clouds build up. That's kind of neat. That's why some people come to church. They come to church because they like to come and watch the lightning strike all around them. Ooh, we had a great service last night. So-and-so prayed through. That means they prayed until they got what they needed from God, for those who don't speak Pentecostalese. So-and-so got baptized. So-and-so. Well, what did you do? Oh, yeah, I watched. It was a great service. Lightning everywhere. Praise God. But I want to tell you, there's a place right up here where lightning can strike. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, I feel that right now. And that's what happens before a lightning strike. Your hair stands up on the end and it gets all tingly. That's what's happening right here in the power of the Holy Ghost. If you need something from God, hallelujah, there's lightning about to strike here. And it's the power of the Holy Ghost that wants to move into your life and give you fresh momentum. Praise God. If you have never been baptized in Jesus' name, you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, there's a thing we the Bible refers to as repentance. That means you admit you're a sinner and you ask God to forgive you for your sins. And you commit yourself to change. That's repentance. I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sin. I want to change. God, help me in all of this. If you do that right here, you're going to feel the lightning. Praise God. God can fill you with the Holy Ghost. Your life can be changed forever. You can have fresh direction and fresh momentum to live a life that's fulfilling all the way into eternity. Praise God. If you have a need today, if something's been holding you back, binding you, causing you to lose your momentum, come and surrender to God, because He will set you free. Praise God. And come right down in the middle. If you need healing, why don't you come on over down here on this side, and men and women will come and pray for you. Maybe put some oil on your forehead. Not enough that'll get in your eyes. And pray for you. God's a healer. Praise God. Lightning is striking here. The wind is blowing. The anointing of God is present. Why don't you come? Why don't you come and meet with Jesus? Why don't you come and receive the power of Pentecost? Hallelujah. It's here for you today.